How can a young Christian share their faith in a secular college or university? Find out next on the Monday Christian Podcast.
You're listening to the Monday Christian Podcast, the program dedicated to helping you put into action the truth of God's Word that you hear on Sunday to your everyday life on Monday. And now, here's your host, Ezra Beyer.
Hi there, and welcome to episode number 6 of the Monday Christian Podcast. So glad that you're still hanging around, or maybe you've just jumped on board the train and you're checking out this podcast for the first time. And hey, if you've checked us out for a couple weeks, one of the things I'd love for you to do is head on over to iTunes, and if you enjoy what you're hearing, hey, leave us a positive review. And that would really help us out a lot, and we really appreciate it. And also, one training resource I want to mention is that I have an online site that is dedicated to helping Christians put into action the words of God that they hear on Sunday to their everyday lives on Monday. And that can be found, all this material can be found at a website called Powerline Kingdom, just powerlinekingdom.com. And that includes a couple of books I wrote and some other helpful resources that you might find useful in your walk with God. Today on the podcast, though, I'm really excited to have my friend Jesse Fontaine on the program. I've known Jesse now pretty much all my life. We grew up together in a small town called Cochrane, Ontario. And one of the things that I love about Jesse so much is he has always been so passionate about serving God. And he is currently studying, he's getting a master's degree in molecular biology from Laurentian University in Sudbury. And he just finished an undergraduate degree in behavioral neuroscience there as well. And so he has a passion for learning. And one of the reasons that I wanted to bring him on the podcast was to speak to the young men, young women who are going into secular universities, and they're trying to live out their Christian faith in sometimes what can be a little bit of a contentious or hostile environment. So if maybe you're going into a secular university or you know of someone that's doing that right now, I think this podcast is going to be very helpful. Jesse's going to share a lot of great material. And one thing that you should know, interesting note, Jesse is also a Guinness World Record holder. Yeah, pretty cool. Him and his wife several years ago, Brianna, they set the world record for the longest air hockey game. And I think it was like 28 hours. So that's pretty cool. So you're actually listening to a Guinness World Record holder as well. And so let's go ahead and jump into the podcast. All right. It's great to have my friend Jesse Fontaine on the podcast today. And Jesse, let's see. We've been friends together for now a number of years. I've known you since, I think, you were about 6, 7 years of age.
Yeah, sounds about right to me.
And for those of you that don't know, we grew up in the same town called Cochrane, Ontario, and again, about 8 hours north of Toronto, and hence pretty much in the middle of nowhere. And then eventually you moved to Timmins when you were
10 or 12, something around there. It's all fuzzy, but yeah, about that time.
Yeah. And so we grew up together, and we would do a lot of things like fort building and all those fun things that kids do. And I don't know that I've ever asked you this, but when did you first come to faith in Christ?
You know, that's a good question, because I was young, and I really don't know. I don't even know the year. I don't know the day. But I know I was young, and I think it was at Good News, the Sunday school that your family ran.
Oh, talk about that, because I'm interested about that. So was that when my sister Dorcas would have been running? Like, it was like a Good News kids program, right?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, about, I guess, 20 kids in the attic of the barn. The gym, I guess it was. But yeah, so it's all really foggy to me, but I guess what I can remember is just hearing the gospel and realizing that I was a sinner. I had done wrong things, and there was nothing I could do in order to save myself. And then I heard the good news of what Christ had done, and that there was salvation available, and there was grace. And I was young. I don't really remember the day, but I remember very gladly receiving that the offer of salvation.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I think there's probably a lot of Christians that have come to faith in Christ and they can't really remember the date. Like, I've talked to numbers like this where they, you know, some people like myself, I don't remember the date, but I can point back to that specific time where I know that I accepted Christ into my life. But a lot of people, I think, are like you, where they don't really remember a specific time, but I think it was just over several, maybe several times of hearing about God, and gradually you just kind of accepted that reality, and you might not be able to point back to a specific time, but you know that there was a time when you gave everything that you had to Christ and entered into a relationship with him. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And absolutely. I'm just curious, so just as a young kid, then, when you accepted Christ, why did you find it appealing?
Well, I guess even being young, you realize that you're not perfect, and I guess that there's something better in life, and in Christ you find meaning, purpose, and really real fulfillment. And so these were the kind of things that I was young, obviously, but real pure purpose in life, and to know that you have a relationship with the God of the universe, there's really nothing better. And so that was just, what a great gift it was.
Yeah. And for those of you listening, I've often said this both to Jesse's face and behind his back as well, that he's one of the most thoughtful Christians that I've ever met in my life. Back even when you were just a kid and I wasn't too much older, I was a teen at that time, just some of the questions you would ask about God were really, really deep. For obviously a young, whatever, 10-year-old, 12-year-old. And you've really, so now you're in a university context, and that's kind of the thought process of this podcast, is I really wanted you to come on and speak to people, specifically college students, university students, who are Christians, but they're in a secular university, they're working with people, classmates, professors, that a lot of them don't want maybe a whole lot to do with God, maybe think God's a little bit irrelevant in their lives. And so just talk about that. So where are you at? Well, what university are you at? What are you studying? All that.
Yeah, well, definitely. I'm living that life now. For the past 4 years, I took an undergraduate degree in behavioral neuroscience at Laurentian University in Sudbury. And after graduating from that, what I'm currently doing now is a master's degree in molecular biology through Laurentian, but I do my research at the Northern Ontario School of Medicine. And so that's kind of where I'm at academically right now. And it's exactly like you said, by and large, a huge majority of especially professors really want nothing to do with Christ, with Christianity, and would, you know, always poke fun at every opportunity.
If you were to put a percentage on that, I know it's tough to say, but let's take professors that you've come across. Mm-hmm. What percentage of them would be open to Christianity?
Well, there's one professor, an engineering professor that goes to my church. So there's him, but as for professors I've run into, not a single one, I don't think, so that have actually taught me. So not all of them are hostile, maybe, but there's a sizable percentage that are hostile, and just a small fraction that would be Christian.
When you say hostile, I'm just curious about that. What ways does that, you know, hostility, what are practical ways that kind of shows in the classroom?
Well, direct hostility to Christianity, I found that took a number of different routes. I guess one of them is denying the resurrection. I know that not many professors will deny Christ, that he lived, but they'll definitely deny, no, he never was resurrected, they stole the body, or some weird concoction. They gave him a tea made from herbs around there, and it looked like he was dead, and all sorts of things like that. But you go down the list, absolutely everything. creation, you don't believe in evolution, you're dumb, you know, and Noah's Ark, young Earth, the list goes on. Where did Cain get his wife? All these forms of things just thrown at Christianity from a really, like, really unfair perspective.
And now I'm just curious about this. I'm just kind of firing off questions that I think that, you know, personally I have myself, and then I'm thinking maybe people in our audience might have as well. When you talk about the professors and they will maybe say things that are against Christian values and maybe ridicule Christians, Christian teaching, are a lot of their arguments, are they very valid? And by valid, I mean not saying that we would agree with them, but are they solid arguments, or do you find a lot of them are, you know, sometimes they're birthed out of maybe anger, resentment? What's been your experience there?
Well, I think there are a slight few. There's a couple that actually have some merit. One of those was that I ran into in neuroscience was where does the soul fit into the brain? And that's a huge topic, but that's something that over my years of study I kind of enjoyed looking into and came to some conclusions about. But in general, most of the arguments that they throw are completely out of bitterness. And are really ignore the facts, absolutely ignore the facts. Just to think, okay, for example, to think that Christ went through flogging, crucifixion, and he was given some kind of plant to reduce his heart rate so that Roman soldiers thought he was dead, and that he could rise 3 days later. Do you think he would be in any shape to raise a following that would last 2,000 years? Like, definitely not. Like, that's just what a sad argument that is. And the rest of them fall flat just like that as well. You can really sense the bitterness, though, the deep-seated resentment towards Christ and Christianity, and that really comes out in their arguments.
Is it religion in general, or more specifically Christianity? Would Muslim classmates, Hindu classmates, maybe people of other religious backgrounds, do you see a similar amount of, I don't know what else to call it, maybe, you know, mild hostility against that?
Yeah, I have not seen that. It's just a disproportionate amount leveled at Christians and Christ. And not surprisingly, in my evolutionary biology class, what did we do? We took like one or two classes, just good chunks of them, just to, you know, mock creationists, just the really shallow, jokey arguments, and just to rip them to shreds. And little did he know, they're kind of just sitting there like, oh man.
Yeah. Yeah, because when you're a student and you're in that environment, and I'll ask you for a percentage here. What percentage of your classmates that have gone to school with you, what percentage of them do you think are very open to the teachings of Christ?
Open to the teachings of Christ is, I think that's a higher percentage, because when you're at the same academic level as somebody, and you know you have a decent testimony, you know, you're trying to be respectful with them, and I'm so surprised at how open people are and how willing they are to talk and exchange views. They're willing to talk about their views, and they'll ask you about yours, and they don't have that animosity that professors have. So open to Christ, I think that's overwhelmingly more than I would have thought. It might be, I don't know, 80-90%. People can be really, really open if they're your peers.
So there's a ton that are open, obviously, then. Mm-hmm. And then what percentage would be professing Christians?
Professing Christians, that goes down quite a lot. I think I ran into maybe one or two out of, I don't know, a few hundreds of classmates that I've, to be fair, I didn't talk to all of them, but of classmates that I ran into, talked with, it's small, maybe 5%.
So generally speaking, then, that makes, I think that we're framing a little bit of a picture here that teachers in general, again, we're generalizing here, but would tend to be a little more hostile towards the gospel. But then classmates are very open. So
yeah,
when a teacher gets up and they ridicule the Bible and they say this couldn't have happened, like the resurrection, that's impossible, what do you sense goes on in the classroom when that happens? Do students challenge or push back, or do they usually give in very quickly?
What I realized, or the feeling that I got during my maybe like evolutionary biology class, is people, they seem to sit with like a sense of awkwardness, and they're kind of nodding along. They know, I'm assuming all this, but it seems like they know they should agree, but they also know that this is really controversial ground, and they don't feel 100% comfortable, but they laugh at the jokes, they nod, and they smile. And that's to be contrasted with how they are in one-on-one interactions. They don't come across like that to me. They don't make fun of me. But in class, they're nodding their head and agreeing with everything he says.
Yeah, that's very interesting, because, and so that probably puts you in a little bit of a challenging position when you go into those environments.
It sure does. And that definitely struck me. I know in my first and second year, I thought, how can I sit here and let this go on?
And so what did you do then? What are ways that you would interact with people that got them talking about their faith and would just open up conversations?
Yeah. Well, I think I might address just first what kind of reaction I had while he was speaking. Because I know in first and second year, I thought to myself, I got to do something. And I talked to a Christian guy, a creationist. He really gave me some good advice. And he said, he quoted from Matthew and Jesus commanding the disciples, be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. And he said, your best bet is probably not to openly challenge a professor. That's definitely not, it wouldn't be wise, and it's definitely not gentle. And a position of authority like that would come across really rough to them, and they'd automatically bristle and defend. So, like you were saying, it's that one-on-one interaction with your classmates that's so critical. And I guess in terms of that, how I have approached that in the past, not to say that I'm very good at it. I think it's an area I would love to be better at. But the few interactions that I have had were just casually bringing things up. Like I had a friend who was taking the evolutionary biology class, and I said, did he mention anything about creation? And he said, oh yeah, and we joked about it a bit, and you know, he would bring that up. And I said, then I would talk, like, I actually went to see him because I had to write an essay for my evolution class, and I went in and I told him I was a creationist. And then he was interested, like, what, you're a creationist? You talked to him? And so then, you know, doors of communication just kind of opened up. And he said, and I don't know, it's fuzzy, but I think he said something along the lines of, I always knew people believed in creation, but I've never heard of somebody make any form of concrete defense of it. So this is interesting.
You know, I found that a lot growing up, and I'm sure you have as well. I think both of us would say this, that we find, I was listening to, I think it was Andy Stanley, he was talking that sometimes we've provided faith-based answers to fact-based questions. And what he means by that is that, you know, say, take the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we'll say, you know, well, how, you know, well, people will raise valid questions. Like, how could someone raise from the dead? Like, that's a valid question, right? And too often, I think Christians have fallen into the trap of saying, well, hey, well, that's just the Bible. You got to believe it. It's God's word. And they get into a circular reasoning that really doesn't appeal to people that are intelligently wanting to seek answers to their questions. But what you're saying is that taking a more intellectual approach, it's not only appealing to you, but it's attractive to others as well.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of claimed holy books around. So a lot of books claim to be inspired by God. And what's one test that you could put them all against to know which one is inspired? And they all speak of heavenly things, but they also all speak about earthly things. And time again, you can verify the earthly things that the Bible speaks of. And it's those evidences that just lend so much credibility to the Word of God. And so I find starting with those things often, and not lingering there forever, but starting on those things that, hey, the Bible says this, you know, the Bible says there was a global flood, and plate tectonics and land masses are explained, you know, perfectly. The fact that there's still carbon, radioactive carbon isotopes in diamonds, and that sort of thing. There's just so many lines of evidence that support scripture, which make it so much more credible when it comes to heavenly things.
So in your field of study, then, what would you say has been your response as you've brought in, you've received a lot of information, you've obviously read a lot, studied. sometimes Christians will talk, and I should back up and say non-Christians will often speak of Christianity and say, well, the Bible and God's Word and Christians, they're anti-science. And so once you learn science, then you're naturally going to reject those foolish things, you know, about the Bible and all that kind of stuff. So I think I know the answer here, but has science pointed you closer to Christ? And if so, how?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, it even goes so far back. The foundations of science, the very foundation are built on creationist scientists. When you talk about Linnaeus with the taxonomic system or Copernicus or Kepler, I hope I'm getting these names right, but time and time again, Newton, all these scientists, the foundation, the fathers of science, were Bible-believing Christians. And that's because they believed in an orderly universe governed by a God of order. So science was really born out of Christianity, and it works to this day. I think evolution is a huge handicap when it comes to scientific study, because I work with the cell. I look at this new, fairly new branch of molecular biology called microRNA. And these things are the regulators of just enormously complex processes in the cell. And if I approach that from the position that each one of these has a purpose, each one is regulating a system for a purpose and it was designed, that gives me a huge advantage over someone who would believe these are just by accident and it works well, but it's probably full of flaws. But I approach it thinking like, yeah, creation is fallen and there's a lot of damage to the genetic code, but overall, you can still see the fingerprints of God and it just incredible, well-functioning creation. And I think that that is a huge asset in scientific study.
That's really interesting. So what advice then, kind of following up on this, what advice do you have for the university, the college student, and they're walking into the classroom and they're faced with a similar situation that you're faced with? And maybe even take that a step farther and share with us maybe some of the emotions that you've gone through being in a secular environment where the beliefs that you've held to in high school, all of a sudden they're really challenged, they're actually ridiculed, and that's probably going to mess with you on in some ways where when you, you know, when you go home at night and you think, oh man, you know, am I really right in this area? Do, you know, does this really make sense? Are my arguments really sound? How have you worked through that in your own life? And what advice would you give to someone who's maybe just entering university or college or is in your shoes?
Right. So you're right. It's definitely, if you step into a secular university, you're going to be confronted daily with arguments that would seek to tear your faith down. People sharing them might not have that idea in mind, but there are thought, there are ideologies that are completely contrary to scripture, and you will be exposed to that every day. Now, my suggestion is to you, when you have a question that you don't know the answer to and it's bothering you and you think, how could this be? How is this compatible with Christianity? Don't just sit on it. Either go home, go research it, go talk to someone who might know the answer, like ask around, because the Bible is inspired by God and it's flawless. And there's answers to these questions. And I'll give a really great resource is Creation Ministries International. I don't think I've run into a single argument, a single objection to Christianity, especially in the area of creation, although they do branch out quite widely, but not a single one that couldn't be answered. And the one that wasn't, I contacted them and their CEO and founder, it's a big organization, but he, Carl Wieland, actually emailed me and he talked to me about it. And it was the question of how does the brain and the soul, how can those two coexist logically? And he wrote back, I wrote back to him, and just what an excellent resource. Creation Ministries International, that will strengthen your faith. And once you have those answers, not only are you stronger in your faith and you trust the Bible more, but you're also able to reach out to people who have the same questions. And you know they do, because if you're wondering them, someone else is probably wondering them too.
When we look at statistics, you see the number of Christians, and I don't have the statistics off the top of my head, and they keep changing each year. But you look at the number of Christians in Christian high school students that enter college, enter university, and the number of them that continue to quote unquote lose their faith in college or university, that's not heading in a particularly good trend.
No.
So why do you think that is? Why do you think that all of a sudden someone who's held to the beliefs all through, maybe all throughout their childhood, but then they hit college, hit university, and bam, that's gone, and they reject that?
Well, what I love about Christianity is it is not a blind faith. There's no blindness involved in this belief. Everything in the Bible, it's logical. And people who fall away, maybe they haven't been shown these answers. And if you have a really burning question, and it's a legitimate question, and someone tells you, you just need to have faith, that's not going to answer your question. Now, we have faith. The faith is so important when it comes to miracles. When the Bible says that there was a miracle, there's no scientific explanation to that, because God is supernatural and he can do a miracle. But when things like, how did all these animals fit onto the ark? That's impossible. Well, that needs a good answer. Well, first of all, it was only the animals that had the breath of life and those that were upon the earth, and kinds were, you know, not so big. So all of these could actually fit really comfortably in the ark. And, you know, if someone would give these answers to people with these questions, their faith would not be so unstable, because they would know that, no, the scripture is absolutely right, and there's real solid answers to the questions they have.
That's so. When you talk to other people, and you talk to your fellow college students, university students, and you're interacting with them, what are just practical ways? I know we've talked about this a little bit, but what are some more practical ways that you can just develop and help their questions along, and that you can mm-hmm. just be a positive influence? And I know you talked earlier about not wanting to contradict professors in the classroom, and to be very respectful and everything like that. So what are ways that, you know, when we're in a university environment, that we can just, you know, just through the simple things, what are ways that we can question and challenge others to think, but also do so in a loving manner?
Well, I think, first of all, be a hardworking student. Like, work hard in class so that your peers respect you. And don't talk bad about your teacher behind your back. You got to respect that he or she did an incredible amount of school, and they're very intelligent. So, don't undercut their intelligence. They're extremely smart. So respectful in every respect. And especially I find this can often be lacking in people who would try to reach out to their peers, is that, they can have an arrogance about them. Like, you believe in evolution? How silly is that? But you have to know that creation, not very many people believe it. And all these jokes that go around, oh man, we're labeled as flat earthers, almost around that level. So if you're going to talk about creation, talk about Christ, your faith, you got to come from a position of respect. And just know, like, you got to acknowledge to them, I know you don't believe this, and I know you think it's unlikely, but, you know, here's some of the reasons why I think it's reasonable, and some of the reasons why I believe, and I realize you probably disagree, but let's talk about these things.
You know, that's a great point, because we think about that when, man, you can't be a very effective witness to other people if you're showing up late to classes, if you're in a study group, and you're never turning your work in on time.
Yep.
All that stuff, that's pretty tough to be a positive influence on others around. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and it just in your hardworking, but also in your general conduct too. One thing about the world getting worse and worse and worse is that I've heard it said before, is that one good thing about that is it's easier for Christians to shine bright, because the darkness is, you know, is worse nowadays. So absolutely, just having a good testimony really goes a long way. They're going to see, if you're in a 4-5 year, even, you know, 3 year, those program, those students that you're with will see you and will get to know you, and they'll really get to know you. So you need to, and it's difficult to do it day in and day out, but with the Lord's help, just maintaining that testimony, that working hard as to the Lord, it's so critical. It opens doors for sure.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, maybe as we're wrapping up here. You really have an optimistic view, and I really like that, because when you talk about classroom environment, you hear some Christians talk, and it's as though, you know what, our universities, they're just going down the tubes. And yeah, you make a little snide remarks like, oh, you believe in evolution, and all the jokes that come with that. But you're not taking that route. You're saying, actually, there are a lot of people that are really interested in God, but they've never heard maybe logical reasons for why they should believe in him. And so what do you see? I know you're going to be in school a little while longer, and with the degree and the career field that you're pursuing, what do you see over the next several years? What are some bright spots that you see for Christians and opportunities that you see for Christians, both in and outside the university setting?
Well, I know a lot of university is very antagonistic towards Christians and creationists, so it might even be difficult sometimes. Maybe it might be difficult to find employment in those fields if people know that you're a Christian. But
have you faced that at all? Like, do you worry about that?
You know, I do, and I know it's a tricky thing, because I feel like I almost can't be open with these sort of things with superiors, like I've tried in the past. So this is kind of like a difficult area where I'm still trying to feel it out. I definitely don't have all this straight, but I tried to communicate with a professor once before, and it went just terribly. Like, it really, really bad. Ridiculed. He felt attacked, and you know, I didn't try to come at it like that, but it's a really, really dangerous ground. I found what seems to be the only people who are open are those people who are your peers, who are on the same level with you. That's what I found. So it's such a difficult thing.
You know, I'm thinking that a number of our people listening, they've maybe gone to a Christian school growing up. They were, and so I think of, we just moved a couple years ago from a place in Virginia, Roanoke, Virginia, and there were a number of Christian schools. And in those Christian schools, all through the high school years, the students would be trained in having a Christian worldview, and they would ask very, very tough questions. And so there's been stories now where those students, when they go into universities, they've been able to do what you're talking about, where they're able to challenge professors, but do it in a way that's respectful, because they've already been doing it for 4 years in a high school setting. One of the reasons I'd like you to speak to this is because you didn't ever go to a Christian school, but you intentionally sought out answers to your questions. Mm-hmm. And so speak to the person that they feel really inadequate right now. They're going into the university and environment, and they're feeling like, man, this professor has been teaching for 35 years. I mean, they know way more than me. And what's worse is all my peers are agreeing with the professor. I'm 19 years of age, 18 years of age.
Yeah.
Who am I to say anything? Talk to the person like that.
There's a lot of ways to go with that. The first thing I'd like to just tell that person is, it all doesn't happen at once. You're not gonna be inundated with 3 years worth of teaching on day one. So on day one, you're gonna hear some things. Go home, go look it up, go learn. I know it's stated a lot. People say you don't need all the answers, and that's so true. Don't worry about having all the answers. But conversely, it's dangerous to go so far the other way, saying like, I don't need to know all the answers, so I won't bother learning any of the answers. But you know, what I found in university is they keep hitting really the same topics again and again and again. So if you learn, let's say, not even formally learn them, but you go read the article on Creation Ministries that answers like the top 20. So just in the back of your mind, you know, you might not be able to outline the arguments, but you just know, that's what's wrong with that. That's why the Bible is right in this respect. And just having those in the back of your mind gives you great confidence that you could go look that article up and you could know it and just defend your faith even just to yourself. So I wouldn't be too concerned that it's going to be a huge, overwhelming rush. Just daily look into it, answer those questions that you have, and just try to amass a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of nothing insane, but just some answers to the common questions. That'll establish you in your faith and make you more confident.
In addition to the website you referenced, so what are the top, if you were to give me 5 arguments, I'm doing this kind of off the top of my head here, so putting you on the spot, but if you were to list maybe the top, I don't know, 3-5 arguments that Christians going into a university environment should just research, and again, they're not going to know all the answers, we know that, but they should just know what they're talking about on these areas. Mm. What are some of those that they should know?
Great. Okay. Well, number one, maybe this is not directly creation related, but I find a lot of people start to worry when the Bible talks about miracles, and they think, well, a miracle is contradictory to science. But that's what God is a supernatural being. He instituted the laws of nature, the laws of science, and if he wants to reach into his creation, as he has on many occasions in the past, and he wants to do something supernatural, that is well within God's power to do. And if you just think about it for a second, if you deny God the ability to do miracles, you're making him not God anymore, because he's no longer supernatural. So when the Bible speaks of a miracle, don't worry, because it's against the laws of science. That's the definition of a miracle. And if you believe in a supernatural God, then he definitely has the ability to do miracles. So that would be number one. Don't let miracles concern you. Number two is more directly creation related. So for evolution to work, for a godless universe to work, you need life from nothing. There is no way around this. People have tried ways around this. One of the new ways is called panspermia, which is aliens came or some kind of being came and seeded life on Earth, which is ironic because that makes those people creationists in some twisted way, because anyway, another being seeded life. But you need life to come from nothing. Now, the early Earth environment was, the proposed early Earth environment is very non-life friendly. One thing on the more technical side, people will often suggest that it was an RNA-based molecule that became a self-replicator. Well, the RNA that I work with in my lab has to be kept in the minus 80 freezer, and sometimes we can take it out and put it on 0 degrees. That stuff breaks down like you wouldn't believe. It's incredibly unstable. There is no biomolecule that would form in a water environment that would be stable enough to replicate itself. There is zero chance of this happening. Abiogenesis, life from nothing, the start of evolution, is bankrupt. Like Ezra said in his book, he was recounting something I overheard in class, is that a professor said, if you figured that out, you could go pick up your Nobel Prize today. There is no answer. And that you really need to grab hold of that. There's no answer to this question, and that's because it's impossible. God is a creator, and he didn't create a small blob that evolved into everything. No, he created life in its finished form, animals, plants, humans. So that's a really good argument for creation. Now I'm trying to think of another one off the top of my head. But
no, that's great. That's very helpful. That's very helpful. And if we have other resources, we can list those in the show notes here at the end of the podcast. And I mentioned in the intro here, it looks like we're about out of time, but I mentioned in the intro that you and your wife set the Guinness World Record for air hockey. And
yeah, that's right.
And so that was, how many hours did that take you?
That was 28 hours of continuous air hockey.
28 hours of continuous air hockey. And that's one of the things that I love about what you do is you find creative ways. And what did you do with that? You raised a fair amount of money, and then you used it for a great cause.
Yeah, so there's this youth drop-in center in Pirwadai, Pakistan. It's a town that has really rampant child labor, child workforce, and a lot of child exploitation, really, really sad things. And this youth drop-in center is just a safe place that children off the street can go. And so we raised about over something like 7,000 Canadian through World Vision for this cause, and working with Guinness World Records as well. So
yeah,
it was a
That's awesome. And one of the things, reasons I brought that up, several podcasts ago, I had my brother-in-law, Matt Hallam, on. And one of the things that he mentioned, it kind of ties into what you talked about earlier, is that Christians used to be so involved in the communities. But now, what have we done? We used to be involved in starting hospitals, whether it's science, education, all this stuff that we were involved in the communities. And now we've kind of pulled back. It's like we've pulled back and said, okay, just come to church on Sunday. And what I'd like us to do is, and the reason this is called the Monday Christian Podcast, is I want to help Christians engage the culture that they're in all throughout the week. And doing awesome things like setting a world record to raise money for a great cause, things like that, that's a way of gaining respect of your peers, gaining influence in their lives so that you can speak to them about things that are important. And so I just think that's awesome. What about this? Any other world records that you have that you're pursuing?
Well, it's funny that you'd mention that because, yeah, I do. I'm currently looking to break the current world record for the fastest mile on a pogo stick.
Oh, my goodness.
So training for that, you know, and I managed to secure a sponsorship by Flybar, so the world's leading manufacturer of pogo sticks. So they sent me a pogo stick, and now I just have to train and get ready.
They have, like, a world record for, like, the longest time you sit on a couch?
They sure do, yep.
Oh, that's probably a little bit longer, though, than the one that you're going to set.
Probably.
All right, we're about out of time. Jesse, last question for you here just before you go. This is called the Monday Christian Podcast, and again, it's because we want to help people put into truth and put into action the truth of God's Word that they hear on Sundays, wherever their church is that they're attending, to their everyday lives on Monday, and not just Monday, obviously, but all throughout the week. And Monday Christians, they're often not on the stage. They don't live very glamorous lives sometimes. They just go to work, and they raise their families, and they love God every bit, though, as passionately as someone who's leading worship on Sunday morning. And so, you know, thinking about Monday Christians, who is the Monday Christian? What's the type of Monday Christian that you most admire?
Well, it's funny you talk about this. I guess I read just the front page of a book today, and it says something along the lines of Christ doesn't want just your evenings or just your weekends or just your retirement years. Christ gave his life for us, and it's our reasonable service to give our life back to him and just serve him out of love. And so I think the ideal Monday Christian, which I wish I could be, but I think that person would think of Christ all day and just look for ways and just be so, you know, so interested in serving God and looking for opportunities to do what Christ would do. Someone with integrity, someone whose character doesn't change depending on where they are or who they're with. Someone hardworking, because not everyone is involved in part-time, full-time work for Christ, but you are in full-time work for Christ if you're a Christian. So wherever you are, just to put it, I guess, just making Christ proud, just living as if he was right around the corner.
That's well said. Jesse, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks. It's been great.
Well, there you have it. And I hope that podcast was very helpful to you, particularly when I was sitting there listening and asking some of the questions. I found his answers very helpful. And hey, maybe you're not in a secular university context, but maybe your kids are, or you've got friends around you that are maybe going through some challenging questions. Refer this podcast and maybe some of the resources, and maybe even get them connected directly to Jesse himself. I know he would love to answer any questions that maybe you or one of your friends might have. But hey, I guess that does it for this week's edition of the Monday Christian Podcast. I'm your host, Ezra Beyer, and I'll talk to you all very soon.
You've been listening to the Monday Christian Podcast, the program dedicated to helping you put into action the truth of God's Word that you hear on Sunday to your everyday life on Monday. For more info on this program and other resources that can help you grow stronger in your walk with God, simply visit our website, MondayChristian.com. That's MondayChristian.com.